Hi, everyone. Dr. Jennifer here. As you listen to the coaching session that follows, you might be surprised by how much this couple's experiences resonate with your own. Because as humans, we have a tendency to get stuck in very similar ways, and it's often easier to see these patterns in others, which is why Room for Two is such a powerful learning tool. So when you listen, you'll likely see yourself in these episodes, and when you do, I encourage you to use the feedback I offer to make important changes in your own life and your own relationship. Please note that to protect privacy, the names, voices, and identifying features of the couples have been altered, but they're sharing their stories generously to help all of us. So I hope you'll benefit from what you learn here. Welcome to Room for Two. Kate and Brad, welcome to Room for Two.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you.
So just tell me how I can be most helpful.
Yeah, so a little bit about Kate and I. We've been married for 17 years. And, you know, the first kind of, I would say, 10 years of our marriage, I think we both felt like our marriage was on autopilot. Or maybe a good analogy is like laundry that went through the wash and we left it there and didn't move it over to the dryer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after kind of a long period of time, where both of us, I think, struggled in different ways, and we'll unpack that. But we came to a point where, I think, to credit, she really wanted more and started to lean in and found some of your material. And as the stubborn male, I was a little slower to come along. But we started to move some of that laundry from the washer to the dryer and realized that just running it through the dryer wasn't going to make it fresh and smell good. And so I think we're at a place now where both of us, on the plus side, like both of us really are anxious to lean in. We're trying really hard in the best ways that we know how. And I think we've seen some progress in areas, but we also find ourselves slipping into the same kind of downward spirals. Mm. And we met with you on one of your events historically, and one of the things that you said to me and to Kate that really stood out was that we're tightening the knot, or we're pulling on, you know, the same ends of the string in our own way. You know, feedback you had given to me was that we had this kind of pursuer distancer dynamic that I think you've talked to a lot of couples about. But whether my pursuit comes from a place of love or a place of anxiety is still a bit of a question mark. And then Kate's sort of distancing and kind of being guarded, or, you know, not leaning in, is likely being caused by some of the things that I'm doing. But there's also an element of, is she going to lean in? Does she want to lean in? Does she feel safe to lean in? And so I think for us, it's really about, like, how do we break down the patterns that hold tighter and tighter on this knot and help us to come together in collaborative ways versus, you know, creating conflict, mm-hmm. or contempt in conflict.
Yeah. Okay. So Kate, why don't you give me your point of view, like what would be most helpful and what you think would be important for context?
Yeah, I feel like Brad and I are really good at talking the talk. Like, we've gone through a lot of your material. I'm convinced I could start teaching your material. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people come to me and say, what would JFF say? And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I think maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, but sometimes it's just really hard to, you know, walk the walk.
Yes.
And there's so much material. Sometimes it feels so overwhelming. Like, where do we start? What will make the biggest impact?
Yeah.
You know, if someone doesn't do this, but the other person does that, it's just like, it feels like everything's so connected. And so that feels really kind of overwhelming or hopeless to yeah. me. So I just don't yeah. really even know.
Good. Okay. So why don't you tell me what you already know about yourselves, as in yourself as an individual, and what you think tightens that knot? Just give me your view of yourself in that.
Sure. So some feedback you had given me when we saw you at the event was just that I tend to like to be in like the martyr place, which I could definitely resonate with. In an interesting way, because I don't think most people would say I'm like a one down, but I do feel more comfortable being there. I find myself like never wanting to owe anything to Brad, you know, so I'm always trying to present things in a way that kind of almost looks like he's doing me a favor than me doing him a favor, if that makes sense.
I want to make sure I follow that. You present things in a way that makes it look like you're doing him a favor. Is that what you mean? Yes, got it. Okay.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, like him a favor. And so I might say something like, hey, do you want to do this with this kid or do you want to do this with this kid? We have to, you know, divide and conquer. And I know kind of what I want to do, but I'm hoping he's going to pick the other one instead of just saying, this is what I would rather do.
Yeah.
Because then it's like he owes me. And so we've like talked a lot about that. And I'm like, that's very true. Just kind of, and so I can kind of continue to kind of play that like, oh, I'm just doing everything for everyone kind of position instead of like, we're working together. I'm helping him. He's helping me kind of a thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But also my personality doesn't like totally go with that because I tend to have a very, like I'm pretty outspoken and I say a lot. I don't like filter a ton. I get that feedback from friends. Like they say they like it, who knows, but I get it from Brad. Like you just say how it is and you don't really even care how it's going to make someone else feel. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I do value people that say how it is. Like, so those two ideas coming together is a little bit hard for me to really get an idea of what I do or how I do it. Yeah. I do definitely do play a part in the pursuer distancing dynamic as well. And I have, that would be something that has been in our relationship since dating.
Yeah. Say more about that, Kate. Like, what do you see in your part of the that dynamic?
You know, I don't know if it's this, but what comes to mind is just that I mean, everyone enjoys being pursued, but it's more of like a feeling of excitement or I really struggle with just like, I'd rather be fighting than neutral. If I have to pick one or the other, like I need emotion.
You kind of like
I
the need like. Of it.
Kind of, but I feel like a lot of people wouldn't say I'm dramatic, but maybe with just a lot of people would say I'm not dramatic, but maybe with Brad, I am. I just want emotion. I want to feel more than definitely Brad, but maybe more than a lot of people.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it comes from the wrong place, but maybe it does.
You know, let me just say, because I know I gave you some pretty direct feedback at the event. And maybe I'll just articulate that a little bit again so that we have that kind of as a touchstone in the conversation. But I think it gives you a feeling of some power to be able to keep Brad in pursuit. And I think that feels safer than something more settled, something more just invested, clear that you're there, clear that you want it, that there's something about keeping him off balance that gives you a sense of security. That's just my gut about it. And I think that I don't know that I would say martyrs is not, maybe it is the right word. I'm not quite sure. So it's not so much like pour me one down, but more, I don't want to think of myself as somebody that needs you. I don't want you to think of me as needing you.
Okay.
Which is maybe a little different. I'm not sure, but that's more the energy. And maybe my honesty is, in the name of honesty, it's a little bit of a way of keeping it clear that you don't really have me. I'm going to say what I mean, but it's got an edge to it that keeps Brad from the feeling that he wants with you. Now, I'm not saying that that means Brad's so loving and just wants, because I think Brad plays his own part in this. There's a neediness there that you can exploit. But I think that Brad is this guy that was got females' acknowledgement really easily. I think you guys told me this, right, when he was dating. But you didn't give it. And that made you different, you know, and that made you a challenge. And I can see how you might be slow to want to give that up. Mm-hmm. Does that feel true, Kate? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that could be true. I'm going to have to think about it. I guess the question that I would have is, why does it feel more safe for me to be in this dynamic than in something secure and where the attention, you know, I'm giving Brad what he wants? Why does that feel unsafe to me?
I mean, I have my theory, but tell me what it feels instinctive about that for you. If you were to say, like, okay, if I were just to say, look, I'm really here, I love you, what comes up?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I probably would be like, if he said that to me, I probably would say, okay, well, if you're here, let's make this enjoyable to be around, like each other. Let's enjoy each other. Let's, instead of just kind of living more along parallel lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I want to be here too.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to make sure I follow that. So you're saying if Brad said that to you, mm-hmm. I'm really here, you would say, mm-hmm. well, then let's make it a good thing. Let's, mm-hmm. which is interesting in and of itself, but that's different than what I was saying. I was saying, what comes up for you if you were to say to Brad,
I am fully here. What comes up is I'm kind of like, why would he not think I'm fully here? Like, in my mind, I feel like I'm fully here. Maybe I don't always act it, but I would think he would know it. That's kind of what I think.
Okay, so what you're saying is my mind goes to, there would be no point in saying that because only an idiot would think I'm not here.
Perfect. Yes.
I mean, which is a little bit your response to the reverse, which is... you know, you had heard it in the opposite way, which is if Brad came mm-hmm. and said, I'm really here. And so in your hypothetical mind, you met that with critique.
Uh-huh. It's right? Like, kind of ironic.
Let's make sure that that's a good yeah. thing. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say that's your ego coming in and destroying the possibility of something more open-hearted on both sides of that.
Oh, okay.
So. Do you see what I mean by that?
I could definitely see it when, with me saying, well, of course, why would I even say that? That makes sense. I see ego there. I don't see ego as much in me saying like, okay, well, let's like, I want this to be something more than it is. Mm-hmm. To me, that feels honest.
Yeah. Well, I think I want this to be something more than it is maybe a little different than the energy that you said it a few minutes ago, which felt a little bit more like,
I'm not even sure
that I want what you're offering. Let's see if we can make it worth wanting a bit. Okay. Now, I don't mean to say mm-hmm. there's nothing to address in your relationship or there might not be legitimate things that you find difficult with Brad. But what I would say is I think you use critique as a shield. Mm-hmm.
I critique a lot.
And that critique is very alive in the relationship. And Brad kind of, I think, rolls his eyes at it a little bit. Like, what is the matter with Kate? I'm a good guy. I do all these things. But you guys stay in this sort of tug of war around your friendship. And I just think, Kate, that there's a power in it for you. I mean, I don't think that's quite the right word, but there's a control in it that you like and that you're afraid to let go of. And so that's why I focus primarily on you at the event and maybe why I'm coming back to you. But I want to look at the broader dynamic here. But I think it feels safer to keep Brad trying to get your approval than to choose him.
Could that be possibly also a Brad issue?
I'm certain that Brad plays his part in making that an easy response, and I want to get to that. But I think your ego prefers the power of withholding approval, affection, investment, acceptance, you know, over the power of loving another human being.
In terms of Kate, what would be possibilities of why that might be the case? Like, is it like you just got to grow up, or is it historical? Is, you know, yeah, I'm trying to.
Well, as a person who knows this move well, it's definitely what I did in my own relationship for the first 3 years of it when we were dating. And that I was terrified to give up. But I don't want to put my meanings into there. I want to make sure I know what it is for you. I have my theories or my ideas, but like, maybe let's go back to that question of, let me start with this. Do you see what I mean? And even if you can only see it in glimpses, that's fine. But can you see the withholding of approval that you're drawn to?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah. Okay, give me an example or a picture of it, a moment when you know that's what you're doing.
Just like a simple, like, hey, thanks for doing that. That was helpful for me, or something like that. That doesn't come natural. Like, it has to be like an effort for me to like thank him, even though I know it does mean a lot when I recognize like that he did something maybe a little bit more out of the ordinary or something that I was going to have to do, but then he did it. So that's definitely something that like I have recognized and like really do have to work at doing.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
So tell me, why does that feel hard? Like, what I mean is, what do you feel like you're giving away? What are you, because it's not that it's not true. I mean, I'm certain that your mind could come up with 17 reasons why he doesn't deserve that because he could have done more or whatever. But it's not because it's not truthful that he went out of his way. So what do you think is hard about acknowledging it?
It's probably like, then I owe him.
Oh, got it. Good. Okay. What do you owe him, do you think, in that?
A favor. Or it's probably like I'm not justified in being critiquing him more, you know? If I'm acknowledging that he's doing something else. Then I'm just probably not justified in how I treat him, probably. Like, the most of our marriage has been me critiquing Brad and just all through raising young children. Now, I think there is definitely a part where he doesn't always step up like I think would be acceptable for most people. So I'm not saying he's perfect in that way. It's probably a place that he does struggle, but it's just like critique after critique after critique. And I'm not really like this with anyone else. Like our kids, I'm the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's valuable what you're saying. I just go back to it. So you said, I'm afraid if I acknowledge it, you are acknowledging I lose some kind of control of something.
Totally, yeah.
And I lose control, and I just want to remember how you said that, but that now I owe him something.
Uh-huh.
What do you think you owe him?
I think it could range. I owe him to be in a good mood. If I'm having a bad day, I should be in a good mood. Well, why would I not want to be in a good mood? That's weird. You know, or I owe him a favor, or when he sits down and I need help with all the 50 million things I'm doing in the evening, I don't have justification to be like, hey, like, I need help, Brad. Are you recognizing what's going on? And I think it feels like now I just have to let everything that is bothering me go. I can't be. If I tell him he's doing a good job in this area, or I recognize that he did this, then I can't.
You're afraid if you're not using the idea that he still has approval to earn with you, that he wouldn't be motivated to do right by you.
Yeah. Even though he's told me multiple, so many times that he actually is the reverse.
Yeah, yeah. But it's instead of climbing out of a hole.
Yeah. He responds a lot better to praise and recognition than he does critique. But
most people do. I mean, when I've worked with women who are the lower desire person, their husband is like critiquing, you know, their lack of desire. All it does is make them desire less, get more shut off and dutiful.
Yeah.
But not bring their heart, which is so obvious in a way. And yet for the person who feels afraid of the love they may not get, it's very easy to go into critique as a way to avoid the exposure or the risk of letting our partner have a real choice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important point that you're saying, that I am afraid, and this is worth understanding, that Brad wouldn't actually love me if I let him choose. If I were to love him and acknowledge the good that he brings into my life, he's a flawed person. It doesn't mean that everything he does is just going to make you happy, but acknowledge all the good that's there. Acknowledge the things you love and appreciate about him, that then he would gloat, or he would just coast, and that he wouldn't love me. Maybe he'd even think he could have done better. I mean, I don't know if that's your fear. I know I had that one.
Yeah.
I know that was one of mine.
Yeah.
If I step in, maybe he'll be like, oh, yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know.
This is all zero. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not distracted by the pursuit of your validation. And if I can just then see you here, maybe then he would think it was inadequate.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you think it's true for you? I don't want to.
Yeah, I do. I definitely, over the last couple years, have seen this idea in me that I never want him to feel like I owe him anything. And I'll actually say those exact words in my mind. And it makes me really uncomfortable to think that it's crazy, but almost that he thinks I'm happy with him.
It bothers you if he were to think you were happy with him. Is that what you said?
In a subconscious way.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Which is so weird.
Yeah. I think that is your most potent losing strategy. It's an understandable one. I personally get it. Okay. Like, so I'm not standing here in harsh judgment in the sense that, well, I think especially as a woman that's dependent upon a man financially, if you're raising kids for a period of time, you know, they're providing the context in which you are doing sometimes thankless work and so on. I think it's very easy to want to keep some control through a kind of critique, through a kind of what have you done for me lately energy.
Because you don't really have control any other way.
Yeah. Or at least you fear you don't. There is a dependency that's in the system when you're home with babies and dependents. And so it can be a very understandable but very destructive impulse to not give them the satisfaction that you need them or that you depend on them or that you're grateful for them. Because maybe if I say I'm grateful for him, maybe then he would be unfaithful or not like acknowledge me as his equal, or somehow I would lose the control that I'm terrified to let go of.
Yeah, it's probably that second one.
Yeah.
Just acknowledging that I'm equal.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I don't want to overload you, but let me just flag that because I think that's really important. I think that's a fear you have that makes it hard to find your strength and demonstrate to yourself that you're his equal.
Okay.
You're trying to feel like an equal through withholding, but it only makes you feel more fear that you're less than.
Yeah. I would say back to that, like, that he doesn't, I don't actually think he does think I'm equal.
Yeah. That's important.
Like, it doesn't, it's not just coming from what feels like immature. It's like, it feels truthful to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's important for us to deal with. And what I would also say is that
if you're looking for a way to improve your marriage, subscribe to my podcast, Room for Two. This is where I work with real couples around issues that are interfering with their emotional and sexual relationship. You can listen in to the conversations I have with couples that you can relate to around what they can do differently to forge a more intimate, loving, vibrant, and passionate marriage. Room for Two is currently on sale for Christmas. Use the code JOLLY to receive $18 off your first year subscription. This is for first-time subscribers, and it makes a wonderful Christmas gift too.